Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith. It's another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. Hallelujah. Thank God for what he's doing on this broadcast. Thank God for illumination. Our hearts have been enriched and nourished by the word of truth, the word of faith. Hallelujah. So many feedbacks and testimonies. People talking about how it's been a refreshing time starting their day with this broadcast, and you know that's the joy. Men are edified and Jesus is glorified. Okay, so we've been studying for some time now the forgiveness of sins, and then we are making a distinction between forgiveness in the Old Testament and forgiveness in the New Testament. Yesterday, which is the last episode, previous episode, we saw the word atonement. We studied the word atonement. And we saw a distinction between the word atonement as used in the Old Testament and used in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5:11 in the KJV translates reconciliation as atonement. But then the word atonement in the KJV of the New Testament is not the same word atonement as used, found prominently in the book of Leviticus. The word atonement in the book of Leviticus actually means to cover, to condone, to pardon. Hallelujah. To cover sins, to condone. Amen. And then, you know, you find it at Leviticus 4:20, Leviticus 4:26, 4:31, Leviticus 4:35, 5:10, 5:13, 5:16, 5:18, etc. We saw different places where the word atonement was used in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And we saw how that word atonement was used to qualify the forgiveness found in the law of Moses. That is, there was no forgiveness outside that atonement. The atonement is the forgiveness. The forgiveness is the atonement. But then in Romans chapter 5 verse 11, the word atonement, which is now translated reconciliation in the New King James Version and other modern translations, is the word that means to restore. Hallelujah. To restore to favor. It means to reconcile. Hallelujah. It deals with the person. It brings the person into a relationship with the Father. It brings the person into harmony with God. It makes peace between man and God. Now, that's a vast difference between the usage and the meaning in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Praise God. So, today, let's quickly see again John chapter 8. Let's see Jesus' dialogue with the Jews at John chapter 8. I'll read from verse 31 to 32. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. Have you seen? So Jesus says, you will know my word. If you abide in me, you will know my word. You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the interesting thing is how a lot of people despise the role of Bible teaching. I've been in discussions and conversations with people where we are trying to, you know, to reach a conclusion from the word of God. We are trying to see what the Bible has to say concerning the subject, and then we are going back and forth discussing and debating and arguing and things like that, and then having a dispute generally on different positions that people put forth, and then we are trying to get clarity from God's word. And people say, see, all these arguments will save nobody, all these arguments, all these disputes, all this debating and trying to teach and all, see, what the world needs is just to know Jesus. And I'm wondering, how does the world know Jesus if there are lots of errors and lies and falsehoods flying around, and then nobody is coming forth to shine the light of the gospel and exposing those things for what they are and letting people see a difference between the truth and error? How will people get to know Jesus? Hallelujah. You know, many times people despise, somebody even say, somebody said, the world does not need teaching, the world does not need doctrine. All that the world needs is salvation. Hallelujah. That's funny. You know, Jesus says in this place, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. The KJV says, if you continue in my word, that is, if you continue to listen, if you continue in my teaching, you'll be my disciples indeed. And then see this, it is discipleship that makes them know the truth. It is discipleship that makes anybody know the truth today. It now says, and you shall know the truth. Hallelujah. That is, it's only when people are open to teaching, they will discover the truth concerning Christ. Hallelujah. They will discover the truth concerning the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Christ says it's when men continue in his word, they will know the truth and be made free. Praise God. So that tells you that freedom, remission of sins, liberty, deliverance from the power of sin only comes through knowledge, comes through teaching. Hallelujah. And there will be no freedom, there will be no being set, there will be no setting free without knowing the truth. There will be no knowing the truth without being a disciple indeed. Hallelujah. Without continuing in the teaching. Glory be to Jesus. So the role of teaching cannot be overemphasized. It cannot be overemphasized. That is the only way men will know the truth. And the truth will make them free. Hallelujah. Now, verse 32, it says, you shall know the truth. Pay attention to that. You shall know the truth. So that means that at this point in time, they hadn't known the truth. At this point in time, they hadn't know the truth. They hadn't comprehended the truth. And Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, if you remain in my teaching, then you become disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth shall set you free. So Jesus makes them realize what the truth will do to them. The truth will set you free. That word shall make you free in the Greek is just one word, which means to liberate and to deliver. The truth will liberate you. Hallelujah. The truth will deliver you. Glory be to Jesus. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and I've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Glory be to Jesus. You shall be free indeed. So Jesus is pointing their attention to something. Jesus is showing them that they need to be free. They need to be set free. They need to be delivered. These guys were oblivious of the fact that they were in bondage to sin. They were oblivious of the fact that they were not free indeed. They saw themselves as being free from men, being free from slavery to others. They saw themselves as being born of the lineage of Abraham, and they considered themselves to be free men, to be a free nation. But Jesus is pointing them to a spiritual reality. Anyone that commits sin is a slave of sin, and the way to be delivered from bondage to sin is not by stopping your habits of sin, is not by resolving to stop sinning, it is by being made free by the Son of God. You shall know this truth, and it will make you free. What truth were they to know? Again, obviously they didn't know they were in bondage to sin, and were in need of freedom from the sin. So the truth that they were to know was the truth about deliverance from the power of sin. Glory be to Jesus. So Christ points out to two main facts. You are slaves of sin. Number two, I have come to set you free. Only the Son sets free. Glory be to Jesus. You are slaves of sin, and only the Son of God sets free. Now listen to this. Who were the folks Jesus was speaking to again? Who were the folks? Who were the people that Jesus was talking to? The Jews. Verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews, hallelujah, who believed him, the Jews that were following him, the Jews that were listening to his word at this point in time, and had claimed to have believed in him. And Jesus was speaking to them. So they were the Jews. Now these were the same folks. Remember, these are the same people that were recipients of the old covenant. These were the same people that were relying on the law of Moses. These were the same people that had the old covenant. They were practicing the old covenant. They were relying on the ceremonial rites and laws and rituals. They were relying on the ordinances of the law. Hallelujah. These were the same people we saw in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus yesterday. The same people that the law was written to. That they were continually bringing sacrifices and offerings and gifts to the temple. And the priests were mediating between them, you know, and the law. The priests were mediating and then offering sacrifices for them. And according to the law, they were being forgiven. Yet, Jesus is saying to them, you are slaves of sin. Hallelujah. In spite of their practice of the law, in spite of their relying on the ceremonies of the law, on the sacrifices of the law, the sacrifices for sins, Jesus still referred to them as slaves of sin. Why? Because I said yesterday, and I'm saying again, that the sacrifices for sin only provided atonement, which was a temporal covering. The sacrifices could not take away sin. We saw that in Hebrews 10:4. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Not that it is difficult. Not that it is so hard. It is impossible. It's an impossibility. Glory be to Jesus. So the best of the forgiveness they had under the Old Testament was a covering. Hebrews 10 and 1. Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. He says, the law having a shadow of the good things to come. The law only had a shadow. Hallelujah. So that means the forgiveness in the law was a shadow. It was a type of the true thing to come. It was a type of the substance, the very reality that we now possess in Christ Jesus. So the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the law, the covenant of old, could not provide a permanent cure or a permanent solution to the same problem. It only offered a temporal covering. Glory be to Jesus. And that's why the Bible says every year there was a reminder of sins. Verse 3. Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 2 very quickly. Colossians 2. Glory be to Jesus. Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians 2. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. From verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So the substance is only found in Christ. The reality, the main thing, is found in Christ Jesus. So there was no forgiveness that you obtained under the Old Testament that is the real thing. That was the real thing. That was the substance. It was all a shadow. Hallelujah. All a shadow, a form of the real thing that we now have in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So the Jews that Jesus was referring to at John chapter 8 that Jesus was speaking to were the same people that were recipients of the old covenant. They relied strongly on the ceremonies. Amen. Let me quickly say this. In fact, the Jews relied more on the ceremonial part than they relied on the moral laws. Amen. Obviously, they knew that they were sinners. Obviously, they knew that they had sins. So they religiously offered the sacrifices. Even when they were in idolatry, they kept on offering sacrifices. They were so given to sacrifice because they relied so much on the sacrifices. That's why you find out that the writer of the book of Hebrews focused more on showing a contrast between the sacrifices of the Old Testament and the sacrifice of Jesus. Focused more on showing the difference between the priesthood of the Old Testament and the priesthood of Christ. Hallelujah. Because the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament people, the Israelites, the Jews, relied so much on the sacrifices for the atonement of their sins or for forgiveness of sins. Unknown to them, the sacrifices could not provide a permanent solution to their sin problem. The sacrifices only provided a covering, a temporal covering for sin. Glory be to Jesus. So these were the people Jesus now referred to as slaves of sin. At this point in time, they were still practicing the Old Testament. They were still offering sacrifices. They were still going to the temple, meeting with priests, and were still offering sacrifices of bulls and goats and all that, turtle doves. But then Jesus came upon the scene and called them slaves of sin who were in need of freedom. Why? Because we said that the pardon and the atonement under the Old Testament did not deal with the root problem. It dealt with the actions, did not deal with the offender, it dealt with the offenses. So there was no change in these guys. Hallelujah. See what Paul had to say about them at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Glory be to Jesus. Romans 3 from verse 9. Romans 3 from verse 9. Bible says, what then, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. What? Both Jews and Greeks. Are you aware that Paul's statement in this place will have come across as blasphemy to the average Jew of his day? Hallelujah. Because you just lumped both Jews and Gentiles together like that. Gentiles that were, without any affiliation with God. Gentiles that were doing their own thing, fully devoted to idols. Gentiles that had no ceremonial laws of cleansing for sin, of being, offering sacrifices. Gentiles that had no moral laws given by Moses. Do you understand? So you just brought both of them together just like that. That both Jews and Greeks, they are all under sin. Imagine, all under sin actually speaks of being under the control and power of sin. Both Jews and Greeks. That is, both the religious and the irreligious. Do you understand? Both the religious and the irreligious. Both men committed to the law and those who were utterly lawless. All of them together, all under sin. Why? Because all the atonement they received under the law made no difference in their lives. Hallelujah. Did not in any way separate them from the Gentiles where nature and condition is concerned. Did not liberate them from the power of sin. They were all under sin. Jews and Gentiles. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10, Romans 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. Not one. Both Jews and Gentiles, all of them unrighteous in the sight of God. Because all the pardon and the atonement in the Old Testament did not change their status. Couldn't change their status, couldn't change who they were. With all the sacrifices, they were just the same people. Their offenses were covered, but the offenders themselves were the same. They were unchanged. They were not transformed in any way. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 11. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of herbs is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery is in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Both Jews and Gentiles. The same condition. The same state. Hallelujah. So what difference did the law make in their lives? Nothing. Hallelujah. Nothing. What difference did their atonement make? Nothing. It didn't change their quality, their essence, their state. Their lives were the same. So both Jews and Greeks were all concluded to be under sin. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So the law even made them realize that they were guilty in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Even the ceremonial law reminded them of sin every year. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 3. The old law was meant to prove them guilty in the sight of God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Both by obeying the moral laws and practicing the ceremonial laws, you cannot be justified. It couldn't translate into being justified. It further condemned them. It further showed their need of a savior. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. So it's in the gospel righteousness is imparted to men by faith. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Have you seen both Jews and Greeks obtain righteousness in the gospel of Christ? That is the game changer. Hallelujah. That is where men have their status and their lives and their conditions and their natures altered and changed and transformed for life. Hallelujah. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Glory be to Jesus. So back to Romans chapter 3 verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When he says there is no difference, he's referring to Jews and Gentiles. There's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. There's absolutely no difference. Hallelujah. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Both Jews and Greeks, whom God set forth, we've seen this over and over again in this teaching, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. We saw that the Greek word forbearance, the word that means self-restraint, self-control, self-restraint, and tolerance. Hallelujah. So God was passing over those sins in tolerance, in his forbearance. The sins were not taken away. Glory be to Jesus. So until Jesus came, there was no remission of sins. Until Jesus came, all the folks under the Old Testament, even those who had faith, you know, were looking forward to this promise in Christ Jesus. Glory be to Christ. Glory be to God. Verse 26, Bible says, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. The just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. Where is boasting then? Verse 27. It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, by the law, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So men were not transformed or changed in the Old Testament until Jesus came and offered himself as the sacrifice for the remission of sins. Look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 9. Exodus 34, verse 9. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Have you seen this? What does this communicate to you? Moses is saying, you know, pardon our sins and our trespasses, though we are a stiff-necked people. So that tells you that the condition of the people were not changed by the forgiveness and the pardon. That word pardon is the same Hebrew word we've been seeing on forgiveness in the Old Testament. The same Hebrew word, shalak. That means forgiveness. It's the same word that means pardon. And that's the word translated pardon here, which means to just cover, to spare, to tolerate. Hallelujah. So Moses says we're stiff-necked people. The word stiff-necked actually means to be obstinate, to be hard-hearted, obstinate and stubborn. So these guys were the same. Hallelujah. The condition, their conditions were not affected by the forgiveness. The forgiveness could do nothing about their condition. Hallelujah. These are the sort of people you have to always forbear. You have to always forbear with. You have to always tolerate. You have to always endure. Glory be to Jesus. They provoked you now. You overlooked their offense. You forgave them. They are about to provoke you in the next minute. Because right within them is a heart that is so obstinate, stubborn, rigid, cold, cruel, hallelujah, and wicked. Hallelujah. So that's why in the New Testament, remission of sins isn't just salvation from penalty of sin, but from the very power and influence of sin, from the control and the force of sin, from the dominion and influence of Satan. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Have you seen what happened? You were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And what happened? He made us alive. So you see that there's a change of condition. Amen. We were dead in sins and trespasses, but our trespasses were not just forgiven. We were made alive. That's remission of sins. There's a transformation. There's a change that happened to the sinner. There's a change. There's a transformation that happened to the man that is a recipient of remission of sins. There's a transformation that takes place deep within the man that has faith in Christ. You were dead in sins and trespasses, but he made you alive. Hallelujah. You came alive. Glory be to Jesus. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So that shows you that there's a translation, there's a change, there's a translation from an influence. Hallelujah. There's a deliverance from an influence, from a power. He refers to him as the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. That's exactly why those guys were referred to as obstinate and hard-hearted, cruel and wicked, because there was a spirit at work within them. And the only thing that delivers us from that power and influence and control is the redemptive work of Christ, by which we are made alive unto God. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. So I say again that the remission of sins in the New Testament goes beyond salvation from the penalty of sin. Of course, it involves and includes that majorly, but then it is deliverance from the power and the influence of sin. Hallelujah. Deliverance from the influence and the power of darkness, from the influence of Satan over our lives. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Let's see something interesting at Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 to 19. Hallelujah. Look at this. This is Moses speaking. Numbers 14, verse 18 to 19. It says, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Of course, this didn't come out right. It was later corrected in the Old Testament. Not that God always punishes people, you know, from generation to generation for the sins of their fathers. No. It's about those who carried on the legacy of unbelief and wickedness. Do you understand? Those are the people who are subject to damnation and punishment for sin. Now, but then look at this. what Moses said in this particular portion sounds like a contradiction. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty. So you wonder, okay, that sounds like a contradiction. If he forgives and he forgives iniquity and transgressions, why doesn't he clear the guilty? Isn't that the same as clearing the guilty? No. Like we have noted, the forgiveness is not justification. The forgiveness is not deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. The forgiveness is a temporal covering, an atonement. Hallelujah. An atonement. Glory be to Jesus. Such that, look at verse 19. Pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. So that means these guys had been recipients of God's pardon right from when they were brought out of Egypt. But have you noticed that they were the same set of people Bible refers to as Hebrews, as people who could not enter into God's rest because of unbelief, as people who continually rebelled, as people who the gospel was preached to, Hebrews chapter 4, and the gospel was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. The same set of people. Glory be to Jesus. In fact, look at how the Bible describes them also in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. You see Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. Praise God. So the forgiveness could not in any way justify them or clear them of their guilt. It was a temporal covering and pardon. Hebrews chapter 3. Are you following this? And are you learning something? If you have a question, feel free to drop it in the chat session, or send to questions@lifeandspirit.org. questions@lifeandspirit.org. Hebrews chapter 3. Glory to Jesus. Look at Hebrews 3. I'll read from verse 16. Bible says, for who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And now with whom was it angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, from verse 1. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter the rest, as he said, so I saw in my right, they shall not enter my rest. It was referring to the same set of people. Hallelujah. Despite all the sacrifices, despite all the atonement, these were folks that were unchanged and not transformed by the same. Glory be to Jesus. And because of that, they could not enter the rest of God. Hallelujah. So, you see, the atonement and the forgiveness under the Old Testament could not affect the persons. Hallelujah. Could not change them. Now, remember what we saw at Exodus 34, verse 9. Bible refers to them as a stiff-necked people. Now, see Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Glory to Jesus. Look at this quickly. Bible says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Have you seen? So he puts this in the future. Back in the Old Testament, this was a future tense reality. Something that will come to pass. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll give you a new heart. Hallelujah. I'll put my spirit within you. And you know what? I'll cause you to walk in my judgments, in my statutes. Glory be to Jesus. So the atonement in the Old Testament could not effect this change. This is a change that will come by the new covenant. Because this is a prophecy concerning the new covenant. David prayed for this at Psalm 51 verse 10. He desired it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A lot of people are still singing this song today. Oh, create in me a new heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And we're so emotional about it. Oh, cast me not away from your presence. We're so emotional about it. You know what? If David were to be in the church today, he wouldn't write this psalm. Hallelujah. If David were to be living in the new covenant, he wouldn't write this psalm today. Why? Because this already came to pass in Christ Jesus. God has given us a new heart, a new spirit. He has given us his spirit in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That which the law could not do, that which the atonement could not do, that which the atonement could not effect and bring to pass in the Old Testament, Jesus has done by the new covenant. He has given us a new heart and a new spirit. We are no longer a stiff-necked people. We are no longer obstinate and rebellious. Hallelujah. The heart of stone has been taken away and we have been given a heart of flesh. This is a metaphor for how men are transformed from sinners to saints. Hallelujah. For how men are transformed from being rebellious to being soft-hearted. Hallelujah. To having a willing heart to serve God. Glory be to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 to 12. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. But now, listen to this. Verse 12 is a reality because of verse 10. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. Verse 12 is a reality because of verse 10. The reason why God will remember our sins no more is because he has given us a new heart and a new spirit. It's because he has given us a new heart. He's transformed us. Hallelujah. Remember Hebrews 10, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. The reason why there's no reminder of sins now is because we have been perfected by the sacrifice of Jesus. We have been given a new heart and a new spirit. We've been transformed. How does God forgive in Christ Jesus? By transforming the sinner. By giving the sinner a new heart. Hallelujah. Moses wrote all the desires of God. His standard of holiness. His values. His righteousness. He wrote God's values and ideals. He wrote them on tablets of stones. In Christ Jesus, God put all those desires within us by his spirit. Hallelujah. He put all those desires within us by his spirit. And this is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. This is the remission of sins. You know, I've said in this series that remission of sins, everywhere it's seen in the New Testament, shows a change in the life of the recipient. Hallelujah. You always find a change in the life of the recipient. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 again. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The remission of sins is by the gift, by the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So how does God forgive in Christ Jesus? By transforming the sinner, by giving us a new heart. The reason why sins are not remembered is because we have been transformed. We have been changed. Hallelujah. We have been changed. That which David was desiring has come to pass for us in Christ Jesus. We have a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature, a new life. This is the remission of sins in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Tune in tomorrow and let's have a great time again in the Word of God. This series is getting more interesting, more expository. Hallelujah. We're going to learn so much. We're going to get into almost every book of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And we'll get into a lot of, you know, many books of the Old Testament, exploring the truth concerning forgiveness of sins as a reality that has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Invite your friends, talk about it, invite your neighbors, invite your family members, your parents, hallelujah. Put it on your status, on your WhatsApp status, on your Facebook wall, and let's come together for the feast of God's word happening in this place every morning. Hallelujah. Have a great day of being full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of power, full of God's word. Hallelujah. Be a blessing to somebody by way of sharing the gospel also. And that's how to have a great day. See you in the next episode.